Can you hear me?
Yep, whoever said that, I can hear you.
Hey,
I can hear you.
Okay, great.
I can hear you.
Does anybody want to hear me? Okay.
Can we decide
later?
I don't know if anybody cares. Did you know that they impeached Donald Trump just about 10 minutes ago?
At least the House did.
Yeah.
That's impeachment.
The indictment, right? But it's not the trial. The Senate has to do the trial.
Right. Has to go to the Senate yet.
Need this thing blocking the
sun. I'm going to say hi to Jerry Olson.
Hi.
Jerry Olson, I haven't seen you since you retired. This is Marie Suhu.
Hello, Marie. How are you?
I'm fine. Good to see you.
Wow.
Did you get
your phone?
Huh? Call me if you have any
trouble. Okay. I'll call you if I have trouble.
Okay.
I think I'll turn the light on.
Marcia, can you hear me? Jeff Ferguson.
I can hear you. We can hear you.
Oh, now I can see you. Can you see me?
I can.
Oh, okay. So we're doing everything right, I guess.
You're doing everything right.
All right, honey. Thank you. And Marta, thank you for all of your work with all of this, kiddo.
Hey.
Oh, I didn't hear you now.
Several people have two people. Yeah.
You're very welcome. By the way, one thing I'd like to request is when people do questions of the speaker or of us, it would be very helpful if you said what insurance you have. Do you have PERS Care, PERS Choice? Are you on Medicare or not? Because the answers may vary depending on what you have. It used to be everyone had the same insurance, so the answer for one person was the same as the answer for another. But that's not true anymore.
I have first care.
It's helpful to know that.
I'm going to have to excuse myself here. Scott, since I've turned over control to you, you're going to have to start the recording at the bottom of your screen.
Okay.
Can you
By the way, I think that there's a way of giving people permission to tape this if they want to, but I'm not sure how to do that.
Well, I don't have time for that. I have no idea. Would you go ahead and start recording, Scott?
You got it.
Be an hour.
Okay,
sure.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay, welcome, everybody. Welcome to the first large online meeting of the Ventura County Community College District Retirees Association. I'm Rene Rodriguez, president of the VCCCDRA, and it's so nice to see more and more people coming in. That's great. I hope we get, well, about 300 responded that they got the email, so let's see how close to that we get. The idea for this meeting came about from two of our exec board members, Marta Freixas and Carolyn Dorrance. They thought it might be a good idea to find an expert who could help us understand what life would now be like for those on Medicare who were used to having Anthem Blue Cross as a secondary insurance as opposed to what we now have, a Medicare supplement insurance. Before I ask Marta to introduce our speaker, I would like to ask you to make sure your mics are muted. I know you've been talking, so run the cursor of your mouse on the screen. You'll see the icon appear at the bottom left, and click on it and make sure there's a line going through it. What happens during some of these meetings, Zoom meetings, is that these mics pick up everything, not only in your immediate room, but in rooms, adjacent rooms. So we don't want anything to interrupt our speaker. Please note that there will be a question and answer period after the presentation. Please submit your questions in writing as you think of them using the chat function. There's an icon at the bottom of the screen. Addressing your questions to everyone so that we can all see them. Marie Suhu will read the questions once the presentation is over. When the questions die down, we can open it up for oral questions from the floor for any remaining questions. However, please note that we are limiting the program to 90 minutes. For those wishing to remain after this meeting, you will be given an opportunity for a few minutes to ask questions about anything other than the subject for this meeting. Now I'm going to ask Marta Frakes, retiree and former math teacher from Ventura College, to come forward and introduce our speaker for this afternoon. Marta?
Thank you, Renee. Welcome, everyone. I'm delighted that all of you were able to come. Our speaker is Scott Klee of Real Medicare Solutions Insurance. Scott has 8 years of experience helping people find Medicare supplements or Medicare Advantage plans, and he will be giving us an overview of how Medicare works when it is primary and there is either a supplemental plan or an Advantage plan working with it. Consider this to be a Medicare 101 course. He will also answer questions afterwards, as Renee has said. Ladies and gentlemen, Scott Klee.
Thank you very much, Marta. I appreciate that. Thank you again for all the attendees. I appreciate you guys taking time out of your day to join us today. I hope you find the information I'm about to review informative, helpful as you navigate the world of Medicare. I'm going to go ahead and share the screen and pull up our presentation, and we will get going. Let me know if you see what I'm showing you here. Can everybody see the Making Sense of Medicare presentation?
Yes.
Perfect. So here we go. So today is going to be an educational event as opposed to what is called a marketing event. There are some differences on the type of information that I can cover on an educational event versus a marketing event. Educational events like today are generic discussion and information about Medicare, Medicare supplements, Medicare Advantage plans, and how they all work together. I am prohibited from getting into plan-specific information such as premiums, dollar amounts, out-of-pockets, and specific copays, but I can cover a broad spectrum of the Medicare program and how that works with Medicare supplements, Medicare Advantage, and prescription drug plans. What we're going to cover is obviously when do we sign up. Now, not everybody has to sign up at 65, and we'll go over those details a little bit later. What will Medicare cost? And to figure that out, you'll have to have a 1040 return. Medicare is always 2 years behind, so for those of you who are entering Medicare in 2021, the federal government will look at your 2019 tax return to determine what you will pay for Part B. And then we'll talk about how to fill in the holes that original Medicare does not cover, and that's going to be in the form of either a Medigap, which is the same thing as a Medicare supplement, or a Medicare Advantage plan. We'll also talk about how you avoid any late enrollment penalties. So Medicare's educational event ground rules, they have the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services have rules governing what we can talk about, the type of conduct. Now, if we were in face-to-face, additional rules would apply. What do I mean by that? So sometimes you might be enticed to show up to a presentation like today with nominal gifts, door prizes, things like that. In other businesses with Medicare, that is strictly prohibited. There can be no, I can't give out little pens and Starbucks gift cards for referrals, things like that. Up to you and hand you my business card. You would actually have to request it from me or I'd be in violation of Medicare marketing guidelines. And then there's what's called the cheese and cracker rule. Typically, at a hotel conference room, a gathering of this size, you might offer snacks, beverages at the back of the room. Medicare would see that as a violation, as an incentive to have people show up. So I could have cheese and crackers at the back of the room. I could not put the cheese on your cracker as it would be construed to look like a meal. And they would say that's providing more than the $5 monetary benefit to attendees. It would be enticing them to enroll. So good thing this is Zoom. There are no cheese and crackers today. If you have them on your own, please enjoy. This, we'll probably get through this in about a half hour. So putting the pieces of Medicare together. So there's two parts that you receive from the federal government. Part A, which covers hospital visit, hospital admission, inpatient rehabilitation, and hospice. It does not cover any doctor's visits when you're in the hospital or seeing your primary care. That is all Part A does. Hospital stay, inpatient rehabilitation, and hospice. Part B covers outpatient doctor visits and any physicians treating you while you're in a hospital setting. That will be billed under Part B of Medicare. Then there are separate Medigap, Medicare Supplement, and or Medicare Advantage. These you receive from private insurance companies. Also, standalone drug plans are all administered by private insurance companies. So the only two parts you get from the federal government are Part A and Part B. So what does Part A cover? As we said, it's hospital room and board, ancillary charges, blood work, labs, operating rooms, nursing staff. Part A does not cover the doctors or the physicians, anesthesiologists, any of that while you're in a hospital setting. It covers skilled nursing and hospice. So the full cost of Part A for those who do not qualify for premium food Part A. So you have to work at least 10 full-time years or 40 quarters to qualify for premium-free Part A. If for some reason you reach Medicare eligibility and do not have the full 40 quarters, Medicare allows you to apply into this system, and the full cost of Part A is $471 for plan year 2021. It has a reasonable deductible for a hospital admission. If for any reason you are admitted to the hospital, original medical.
Scott, let me interrupt you for a moment.
Yeah.
There's somebody is making noise in front of their mic. I'm going to please, and it's distracting, and it's keeping us from hearing every word you're saying. Please make sure that everyone has their mics muted. Run your cursor to the screen so you see the mic icon appear on the bottom left. If there's not a line going through it, you're not muted. So click on it with your mouse until you see a line through it. I don't hear it anymore. So
I think it might. Yeah, I think it was Mike's microphone while he was speaking to us. He might have been brushing up against. Who knows?
Okay.
That's my only thought.
All right. Okay. Go ahead, Scott. I'm going to mute myself now.
Okay. So, no problem. All right. So, Part A, 471, deductible. So, there's a deductible of $1,484 if you are admitted to the hospital under Original Medicare. That means you don't have a Medigap, Medicare Supplement, or Medicare Advantage in place. You just have A and B. You would be charged the $1,484, and that would cover your hospital stay up to 60 days. Now, that does not mean you have to be in the hospital for a consecutive 60 days. Let's say you're only in the hospital for 5 days and you're discharged. You still pay the $1,484, and if it has been longer than 30 days since your original hospital admission, you would be charged that $1,484 deductible again. So you could get hit with that a couple of times in a bad health year. For lengthy hospital stays, after day 60, so days 61 through 90, you start having a per-day copay amount, and that amount is $371 for days 61 through 90. Now, in the event that you have to stay in the hospital past 90 days, that daily amount doubles to $742 per day for days 91 through 150. After 150 days, in the hospital in a calendar year, Medicare no longer pays your inpatient hospital benefits. You are now on the hook for the rest of your room and board. Now, obviously, if you're in the hospital for 150 days, you've got bigger problems than the bill that you're going to walk out to. But that's how original Medicare cuts you off. They do cap it at 150 days. Following a three-day hospital admission, and it's determined by your attending physician that you require additional rehabilitation in a skilled nursing facility, the first 20 days are covered at zero cost. If you require additional rehabilitation from day 21 through 100 days max, it'll be $185.50 daily copay while you're in, receiving the inpatient physical rehabilitation. So just with Part A, there are some pretty serious gaps in coverage and some out-of-pockets that beneficiaries need to be aware of. Part B, this is going to be everything outside of a hospital, a primary care physician, an outpatient surgery, routine physicals, or being treated while you're in a hospital setting. All of the attending physicians, anesthesiologists, nurses, that will all be billed under Part B. There is a small annual deductible for 2021. It's a $203. So let's say you go to your first doctor visit in January or February. It's the first time during that year that you've used Medicare. You're going to satisfy that $203 deductible, whether you're getting just your routine annual wellness visit or you're having some other procedures. $203 is going to be eaten up with that first visit. You'll get a bill a couple of months later, maybe 4 to 6 weeks after the visit from Medicare saying, satisfy the deductible, $203. And then once you've paid the deductible, then Medicare kicks in at 80% coverage. You pay the remaining balance of 20%. And the big difference between Medicare and the typical insurance you've had prior to Medicare, whether that be an Affordable Care Act plan or an employer group health plan, or some other open marketplace insurance, is that there is no out-of-pocket maximum under original Medicare. It is 20% regardless of the cost of your treatment. For those reasons, the holes that we discussed under Part A and the limitless 20% under Part B, most individuals choose to supplement their original Medicare with either a Medigap plan or an all-inclusive Medicare Advantage plan. And we'll get into the differences between both of those as we move along. What does Part B cost? So in 2021, the full cost of Medicare Part B, again, for those who do not have the qualifying quarters and they would have to buy into the system, it would be $594 every month. So $594 plus the $471, you're pretty close. You're a little over $1,000 if you did not qualify for the subsidy for paying your taxes all of your life. The percentage of the full cost of Medicare that most individuals pay is based on your modified adjusted gross income. That's what MAGI stands for on that slide. Modified adjusted gross income. And you can find your modified adjusted gross income by adding lines 37 and 8B from your federal return. Those two figures combined give you your MAGI. The percentage range that people pay for Part B is anywhere from 25% to a max of 85%, and what you pay depends on where you fall in the income scale, usually 2 years behind. So for those entering Medicare in 2021, they're going to use your 2019 federal return to determine your Part B premium. For individual filers, I want to say the magic number is $85,000 or less. So in 2019, if you filed your taxes individually and you made $85,000 or less, you're going to pay the standard rate, which is the 25% figure, and that will be $148.50 a month. The top end of the scale is for individuals is anyone who made over $320,000. You're going to pay the maximum amount, which is the 85%. At $504.90 per month. Obviously, there's scales in between, If anyone's interested or think they're going to be subject to what's called the income-related monthly adjustment amount, or IRMA, you can reach out to me individually. There's a publication called Medicare Premiums for High Income Earners, and I usually have that publication linked on my website. But most folks will pay the $148.50. Some high-income earners will pay more. How much more just depends on where you fall on the income scale. So do you have to enroll in Medicare? And the simple answer is no. You don't have to. If you have active employer health coverage, either through your own employment or that of a spouse, from an employer with at least 20 or more employees, you can delay Medicare indefinitely so long as that there is not a gap in your employer group health coverage greater than 63 days. So you could leave one position at one company, go to another position at another company, so long as you had health insurance that did not lapse longer than 63 days, you're not penalized. You don't have to take Medicare in the between time. If for some reason you foresee a gap lasting longer than 63 days, you'll want to hop into Medicare until you land another job or find an alternative employer group health plan. And at that time, you could then leave Medicare and opt to go back to your employer group health plan. There are no penalties for hopping in and out. The only caveat is that you must show proof that you have creditable coverage in the form of employer group health coverage to leave Medicare. So in most cases, you would not need to take Part B and would not be penalized for delaying. You should take Part A in most cases. It would offer you secondary hospital coverage at no additional cost to you, because remember, Part A is premium free, so long as you worked at least 10 full-time years in your adult life. The only time where you would not want to sign up for Part A is if your current health plan was attached to a health savings account. An HSA is typically tax credited with a high deductible. You can make some contributions during the year, but you are not allowed to participate in any part of Medicare, including Part A. You can withdraw funds from an HSA if you are on Medicare. You just can no longer make contributions. And then finally, when you do leave employer group health coverage, your employer, if you decide to leave employer group health coverage after 65, let's say you decided to work into your 70s, you never took Medicare, you didn't take Part A, you're not drawing Social Security, and now you want to retire or leave that employer group health plan. At that time, your employer will fill out a form called the Request for Employer Information, and they're just going to simply attest that you have had creditable employer group health coverage since turning 65 with no gaps longer than 63 days. That form allows you to enroll in Medicare at the time of your choosing and avoid any late enrollment penalties. If you cannot produce that form, then late enrollment penalties would be assessed to your Part B premium. If you do not have active employer coverage from an employer group with at least 20 employees and you don't enroll during the time frame that's required, you could be subject to late enrollment penalties. So the late enrollment penalty for not having Part B is 10% for every 12 months that you did not have creditable coverage. So a simple example would be you turn 65, you don't have employer group health coverage, you've had, let's say, an inexpensive Affordable Care Act plan, you've been happy with it, you didn't do anything, and now you get notification a year or two down the line that they're dropping you for whatever reason, and you now have to go get Medicare. If that's been a one-year period, they're going to take 10% of the current year's Part B premium, so that would be $148.50 for 2021, and they're going to add 10% of that to your monthly premium amount, and that penalty sticks with you for the remainder of your life. It never goes away. So it's real important to get the timing right when you have to sign up for Medicare. Medicare eligibility date is the first day of the month that you turn 65. That's the soonest that Medicare would take effect if you enrolled during your initial enrollment period. And that initial enrollment period is the 3 months before your birth month your birth month and an additional 3 months. So let's say you're born in May, you've got May, you've got April, March, February, and then you also have June, July, and August. So the end of August would be your last day to sign up for Part B without any penalty. Now, if you're born on the first of the month, all of those dates shift back an entire month. You actually only have 2 months prior to your birth month and then another 4 months after your birth month. So it can, well, actually, no, it's 4 months on the early side and it's only 2 months on the back side of your birth month. So if you're born on the first and you think you've got an additional 3 months after your birth month and you wait, you could find out that you waited too long and now you're locked out. So it really is important to get on top of it as you approach your 65th birthday. Now, for folks who are already receiving Social Security benefits, that can be in the form of SSI disability, your own Social Security benefit, or spousal benefits. If you are receiving any type of Social Security benefit prior to 65, you are automatically enrolled in Medicare, and you will receive your Medicare A and B card in the mail roughly 3.5 months before your 65th birthday. Now, if you already have employer group health coverage through your own employment or that of a spouse, you're going to want to take action. There's no reason that you need to have both Medicare and your employer group health plan, and so you would want to sign the back of that card as it arrives and decline Part B. Part A would remain in effect, send the card back, and then when the employer group health coverage ended, you would reapply for Part B of Medicare at that time. So, again, we just covered that a little bit, assessing whether to decline Medicare. So if you have active employer group health coverage with at least 20 employees, are receiving a Social Security check, you'll be double enrolled. And most commonly a retiree with a working spouse is where that would fall in. You have to take action to avoid this, as we just discussed. You want to compare the cost and coverage from your employer group health plan versus Medicare, a supplement, and a standalone drug plan, or Medicare coupled with a all-inclusive Medicare Advantage plan to determine which option's best for your particular situation. And you'll want to keep in mind things like if you have younger individuals in your family, in your household that are covered under the employer group health coverage, you'll want to weigh the impact that that may have on them if you decide to leave the employer plan as it's covering the entire family and Medicare is an individual basis. If Medicare is a better course, obviously drop your employer group health coverage, keep your Medicare card, sign up for either a Medigap and a standalone prescription drug plan, or an all-inclusive Medicare Advantage. If the employer group health plan is the better option, sign the back of the card, return it. A new Part A card will be sent out in the mail shortly thereafter, and you can remain on your employer group health coverage until you decide to terminate that coverage. Does anyone in the group, do we have HSAs as part of this discussion? I can go into it in a little more detail if you'd like, but if nobody has one, I don't see.
We don't have an HSA. We have an HRA.
Okay.
Totally a health reimbursement account that will pay for our Medicare premiums.
Right, right. Totally different animal. I'm going to skip
You can skip that.
Okay, so now we're going to talk about how do we fill in the holes that I outlined under Part A, which is the deductible for a hospital stay, the daily amounts for lengthy hospital stays, and then the limitless 20% that you are responsible for once you've satisfied the annual deductible under Part B. So you have two types of plans that do this. You have Medigap. You may have also heard Medicare Supplement. Medigap and Supplement are interchangeable. They are the same thing. And then you have a Medicare Advantage plan. So Medigap plans pay after Medicare. So original Medicare, Part A and B, is in position one. Medicare is making all determinations as far as approval of services, denial of requested testing, things like that. That's all handled at the Medicare level. Anything Medicare approves, they are going to pay your your attending physician the 80% of the approved fee schedule for Medicare services. Your supplement plan simply writes a check on your behalf to cover the balance. They do not get to say, we're not paying, we don't approve, they don't get to question, they do nothing. It's all handled behind the scenes, and they simply write checks on your behalf. A Medicare Advantage plan pays your claim instead of Medicare. Now, you're not losing Medicare. You have to have Part A and Part B to receive a Medicare Advantage plan. But they are replacing the financial liability that falls on the government, and they are solely bearing the cost of that. Medicare supplement plans do not have doctors' networks. There are no primary care physician requirements. You simply contact a physician of your choice. You ask, do they accept original Medicare? If the answer is yes, you ask, are you accepting new Medicare patients unless you're already an established patient at that office? If both of those answers are yes, you can make an appointment, and then whenever they can see you, go on and get in. With a Medicare Advantage plan, you do have to seek your care within a network of doctors and hospitals. Most plans do require a primary care physician as the gatekeeper, and so if you wanted to see any type of specialist, you would need to get a referral written by your primary care physician prior to being able to see that specialist. And again, you're going to have to seek your care within that plan's specific network of doctors and hospitals. Medigap plans do cost more per month, but typically have little or no out-of-pocket costs. Medicare Advantage plans typically cost less per month, and in most cases, as little as zero. There are some plans that have small premiums, but not most. Most are premium-free. And then Medigap plans do not include prescription drug coverage unless you've been on Medicare for about 15 to 20 years and you have an older supplement plan no longer offered. You might have some prescription drug coverage in there. But most of us moving forward, Medigap no longer provides prescription drug coverage, so you need to get a standalone plan. Most Medicare Advantage plans do include prescription drug coverage, and you must take the drug coverage that comes with the plan. You can't go out and get a Medicare Advantage plan that all your doctors take and then try to go couple that with a standalone drug plan. By enrolling in the standalone drug plan and you already have an Advantage plan, doing that would automatically disenroll you from your Medicare Advantage plan. So you really want to seek advice before you start making changes to those things every year. Medigap, like we said, Medigap pays after Medicare. No doctor or hospital networks. Does not include prescription drug coverage. There are 9-10 standardized plans identified by letters A through N, not to be confused with Medicare Part A, Medicare Part B, Medicare Part C, and Medicare Part D. There are supplement plans A, B, N, G, F. They use the same letters, but they're not the same animal. Leave it to the government to keep things simple for you. Your monthly premium on a Medigap does increase over time as you age. So the initial premium is based on your age at the time of your application and the zip code in the county that you reside in. Everyone of the same age in the same zip code pays the same rate, regardless of health condition. Many Medigaps have little or no out-of-pocket costs other than the monthly premium, and you do have to qualify medically. There are some exceptions, like when you're turning 65 or leaving employer group health coverage, you have guaranteed acceptance. Outside of that period, you want to go purchase a Medigap, and your first time you've been on Medicare longer than 6 months, you have to qualify medically. There's no physicals, there's no blood work, but you will answer a series of medical questions on the application going back 5 years, and then the insurance company will pull your medical records, and if they find anything in there that they don't like or that's a higher risk, they can do one of two things. They can either upcharge you, which means charge you more, or they can simply deny you, and they do not have to take you as an applicant. So it is important with Medigap that you get that right when you have the guaranteed acceptance right, if that type of plan is best for you. There are never any qualifications for Medicare Advantage. You can always get a Medicare Advantage plan, regardless of your current health condition. The only question that Medicare Advantage ever asks is if you have end-stage renal disease or kidney failure, and that doesn't mean you can't get one. It just means they have specific programs designed for terminal illnesses, especially the end-stage renal disease. They have specific Advantage programs for those individuals. Okay, so resisting well-intended bad advice when it comes to what should I do when you're choosing a Medicare supplement. So back in 2012, there was a study conducted where it found that 52% of all Medigap enrollments were Plan F. Plan F is no longer available as of January 1, 2020 for new enrollees. However, if you were eligible for Medicare prior to January 1, you could still go out and purchase a Plan F. Plan F was what was called the Cadillac of Medicare supplements, the gold standard, because it paid 100% of everything. It paid the deductible. It paid excess charges. There was never any out-of-pocket. The problem was it was very expensive both to the beneficiary and to the government. Because what they found is people who had first-dollar coverage typically used more healthcare services. Rather than going to their primary care physician who might not be able to get to them for a month or two, 3 weeks, 2 months, they would just run into an ER. And if you've ever been to an ER and had to pay any of those bills out of your own pocket, you know that those prices are highly inflated. But if you don't want to wait and you've got first-dollar coverage, it's nothing out of your pocket, go run to an ER and get a doctor to see you and make sure that the hangnail's not going to have your toe fall off at the end of the month. So what they tried to do was uprate people who had first-dollar coverage plans like Plan F and Plan C. The government's big solution to that was to eliminate plans that provided 100% coverage. So now the Medigap plans are a little bit more limited. There is no plan that pays 100% of everything, including the Part B deductible, for new enrollees. That means people who are eligible for Medicare on January 1 of 2020 and moving forward, Plan F and Plan C are no longer available to them. People who were eligible prior to that date could still go purchase that. A quick example of how you want to watch out, maybe some friends and family who've been on Medicare for a while, they may have a Plan F. They might be out there talking it up, saying, that's the one you need to go with. Plan F is the best. I don't pay for anything. It's great. Yeah, it is in that respect, but they are paying through the nose for that coverage, especially since January when there are no more new enrollees or young 65-year-old healthy individuals to offset the costs of those who've been on Medicare for years who have the Plan F. I'll give you a quick example. We do seminars with different financial planners all over the country, and this one client, 75, that was paying $253 a month for a Plan F. She had no guaranteed acceptance, but she was fairly healthy and was able to qualify medically via underwriting for a Plan G. We got her a Plan G at $141 a month. So her annual premium versus from her Plan F to her Plan G dropped $1,344 a year. And her annual out-of-pocket went up simply the Part B deductible of $203. So just be mindful if you're getting advice from people who have been on Medicare prior to you. Things have changed a little bit just in the last couple of years that they may not even be aware of. So it's always good to seek professional advice when you're looking to purchase either Medigap, standalone drug plans, or Medicare Advantage plan. There's some pitfalls out there that unless you're in the business and doing it on a daily basis, you just might not be aware of. Here. Now, we don't need to get in. I just covered House Resolution 2, which was back in 2015. That's where they eliminated Part C and F from the Medigap available plans. We don't need to get into that. Talked about F and C being singled out and why. Medicare Advantage, here we go. So, Medicare Advantage pays instead of original Medicare. Like I said before, you do not lose your Medicare. You have to have both Part A and Part B to purchase a Medicare Advantage plan, also referred to as Medicare Part C. Most have doctors and hospital networks that you must seek your care in, typically HMOs. There are some PPO options out there to you, and then you can use both in-network and out-of-network services. Most Medicare Advantage, not all, so do be careful when you're selecting an Advantage plan. Make sure that it includes drug coverage, but most of them do. Some of them do not. Those are called MA only. And those are meant for individuals who may have qualifying drug coverage through either retirement plans or federal employees or individuals with prior military service who have access to VA health coverage, the VA prescription drug coverage, and the federal employee retirement health prescription drug coverage is creditable when it comes to Medicare. So those individuals could go get a Medicare Advantage health-only option and still use their alternative drug coverage from another source. The service area is for a Medicare Advantage plan is determined by the county that you reside in, so typically your network will be limited to that county. Medicare Advantage plans have an annual contract with the federal government. It's good from January 1 through December 31st every year. There aren't going to be any changes to the coverage in a calendar year. And then the only time that you can make changes to your Medicare Advantage plan or your standalone prescription drug plan is during the annual enrollment period, or AEP, which begins every October 1st, and it runs through December 7th. October 1st through October 14th, the following year's plans are available for preview, both on Medicare.gov or any insurance agent that you're working with will have access to those to the following year plans during that two-week period. And then the application or enrollment period begins October 15th and runs through December 7th. Any plan change that you make during that time frame does not take effect until January 1st of the following year, and you can submit as many applications as you want. The federal government is going to take the last application that they received as your election. So let's say you met with Agent John on October 15th, and he was slick and sold you a bill of goods, and you're going to get all your benefits, and there's the plan for you. If you decide to change your mind at any time between that meeting and submitting your enrollment up into including December 7th, you could submit a new application December 7th, 11:59 p.m., and that is the application that Medicare will approve you for moving forward. Copays and coinsurance are a part of the Medicare Advantage program. Like I touched on earlier, most Medicare Advantage plans are significantly less expensive in the monthly premium aspect, as they do offer plans with zero or premium-free options. But you are going to have copays and coinsurance as you use medical services. Anywhere from no copay to see your primary care physician to as high as maybe $20 copay, x-rays, blood work, inpatient hospital stays, you will have certain coinsurance and copayments. Each Medicare Advantage plan does put a cap on your out-of-pocket for a calendar year. It can range anywhere from $1,000 for plans in California, it can go as high as $11,300 for PPO options in other parts of the country. It just depends on where you live and the type of plans available in your area. Beware of PPO costs due to higher in and out of network co-payments and cost sharing. I'll give you a quick example. Some clients want the flexibility of a Medicare supplement, but they don't want to pay the monthly premium for a Medicare supplement, so they opt for a Medicare Advantage plan that's a PPO, which means if they go to an in-network preferred provider, they're going to have a significant lower out-of-pocket and copay amount. However, if they want the flexibility to go out-of-network, you can do that with a PPO. If you just had original Medicare, keep in mind you're going to pay 20% of the Medicare-approved fee for your service. But with a PPO, if you go out of network, you're going to pay 40% of the Medicare-approved fee for that service, and you could have an annual out-of-pocket maximum as high as $11,300. And so what ends up happening is a lot of folks go with the PPO option, but then they restrict themselves by remaining in network to avoid the higher out-of-pocket costs. Medicare prescription plans and how they work. There are two ways to enroll to get your prescription drug coverage. There is a standalone Part D prescription plan. Those are only offered by private insurance companies. And then you have the Medicare Advantage plan with prescription drug coverage included. What if you don't take any medications? Well, there's two reasons you want to get a drug plan, even if you're not taking any. The first is financial penalties. So the financial penalty for not having creditable drug coverage when you are Medicare eligible is 1% of the national average cost of a drug plan. This year, for 2021, the national average cost of a drug plan is roughly $50. It's like $48 and some change. So the penalty is 1% for every month that you do not have creditable coverage. And that monthly amount adds up quickly. And then once you sign up for a drug plan, that monthly amount gets added to your drug plan premium, and that penalty follows you for the rest of your life. So let's say you don't take a drug plan at 65. You don't have creditable coverage. Now at 72, your doctor says you got to take this blood thinner. You've got to take this heart medication. There's some things going on. You need your prescriptions. And the cost without insurance is through the roof. So you start looking into getting a prescription drug plan. You're going to get approved, no problem, once you get signed up. And then about 6 to 8 weeks later, the federal government's going to send you a nasty letter saying you either need to show us proof that you had creditable coverage from 65 to 72, or we're going to assess this monthly amount. And if you don't have the proof, that monthly amount can be huge. So if it's 50 cents a month for every month that you didn't have it over 12 months, that's about $6, right, in 1 year. Well, if you went 7 years at $6 a year, $42 a month is just your, or even more, yeah, $42 a month is just your penalty amount on top of paying for your drug plan premium. So you'd really want to avoid it. I would recommend if you're not taking any medications, just go with the least expensive drug option that covers Tier 1 through Tier 5 medications. And as your drug needs change, you can always make changes to your drug plan at that point. You really want to avoid delayed enrollment penalties because they can add up, and once they're assessed, they do not go away. And then the other reason to sign up is a time penalty. So if you don't enroll during that 7 month window surrounding your birth month at 65, which is called your initial enrollment period, IEP, you are locked out for the next calendar year, and you must wait for the general enrollment period to sign up. The general enrollment period is from January 1st through March 31st every year, and that enrollment period is for individuals who failed to take action during their initial enrollment period and who do not qualify for an SEP, which is a special election period, such as losing employer group health coverage. That would be a special election period. You would sign up for Medicare during the general enrollment period in January, but Medicare will not take effect until July of that year. So you're still locked out, you still don't have drug coverage, and you're still incurring late enrollment penalties while you're locked out. So, again, it's very important to get it right during that 7 month window surrounding your birth month or in the 63 days after leaving employer group health coverage. So there's different levels of prescription drug coverage. The full cost is the amount that you pay if uninsured and determines when you go into the coverage gap or the donut hole. I'm sure a lot of you have heard of the donut hole, those of you who are on Medicare. There's a deductible, and that's an amount that you pay before the plan pays anything. And I did review your coverage provided through the retirement benefit, and you guys do not have a deductible for your prescription drug plan, so that's good. And then there's the initial coverage level. That's going to be co-pays and co-insurance based on the drug tier. So there's going to be tier one, typically preferred generic medications. Tier two are going to be generics, non-preferred. Tier three is going to be preferred brand name drugs. Tier four is a non-preferred brand name drug. And tier five is a specialty drug. The big trick to Part D is each drug company gets to pick and choose what a tier one, tier two, or tier three, four, and five drug is to them. I'll give you a quick example. Let's say there's about 40 different medications on the market that currently treat cholesterol. There's all kinds of statins out there. Each drug company is only required to have two medications in each therapeutic category. So cholesterol, they only have to have two. Blood pressure, two. Heart, diabetes, and so on and so forth. Your drug might be a generic. It could have been on the market for 25 years, no more patents pending. It's generic everywhere you see. But the drug plan that you select may say it's not the drug that they prefer, so they'll have it as a tier three as opposed to a tier one. So it's not so much the price of the drug plan or the drugs that the company covers. It really comes down to your specific list of medications and dosages. And then you'll want to review that list against the plan's formulary every year. And you want to pick your drug plan based on the lowest annual cost of your specific medications for the coming plan year. I do get questions a lot saying, well, I want to make sure that, you know, my drug plan has the best coverage. Well, there's really no such way to determine unless we're going to be specific to your medications. Because what's good for you may not be good for your wife or your husband unless you're both taking identical medications. You'll often end up on separate plans. The coverage gap level. The coverage gap is when you're going to pay a higher share once the full cost of your drug reaches $4,130 in 2021. So the full cost of your drug reaching $4,130, that is not your true out-of-pocket cost. That is the cost of the medication. Let's say you have a $20 copay for your pill. It's not going to be just your copay. It's going to be the difference of your copay and the full cost of that drug. So if the drug is $100 retail and your copay is $20, they're going to use that $80 in between every time you fill, and that is how they kind of calculate the $4,130 number. It's funny math. It's difficult to calculate on your own, but there are tools on Medicare.gov. Our agency has these tools as well, where we can enter in your medications, compare it to all of the drug plans available, and then we can determine when, if at all, you would enter the donut hole and start having these higher out-of-pockets while you're in that hole. And then once the out-of-pocket expense reaches a total of $6,550, you enter what's called catastrophic coverage, and then the copay structure flips dramatically. You're going to pay about 5% of the cost, and the insurance company is going to pay the remaining 95% of the cost for the rest of the calendar year. So for those of you who have been on Medicare and may have experienced this, typically if you hit the donut hole in a given time of year, let's say you hit it in May for some reason, and then you're on catastrophic coverage from May through December, chances are in the following year, you're going to hit the coverage gap roughly the same time. So if you hit it in May this year, you're more than likely going to hit it end of May, early June the following year, and so on and so forth. So what are the top 10 takeaways from today's introduction to Medicare? So when you turn 65, if you or a spouse are still working and covered under an employer health plan with at least 20 or more employees, Medicare Part B is an option, but it is not required. You should look at both of your options to determine which is going to best suit you and your family, but you don't need both. If you have a health savings account insurance, you should not contribute to that account or take any part in Medicare due to possible IRS excess contribution penalties. Number three, Part B premiums are based on your income from 2 years ago. So thoughtful tax planning may save you several hundred, if not thousands of dollars when determining your Part B premiums based on income. Medicare has an unlimited out-of-pocket expense, and it is best paired with additional coverage to reduce your financial exposure, either a Medigap plan or Medicare Advantage. We very rarely recommend that somebody just go with original A and B unless they have some other type of option not available to the general public. Your retirement option is great, would be one of those scenarios. Federal employee retirees or those individuals with prior military service who have access to VA benefits. Medigap benefits are identical no matter what company you get them from. The only difference is the price. So of the I-10 standardized Medigaps, every plan of the same letter is identical from another company. There's no difference. The only difference between companies is the premium that they charge you to have it. That is it. So if you go to Plan G with company XYZ, is identical to Plan G with company ABC. There is no difference. It's just the monthly premium that's different. So you want to be aware of that. Paying more doesn't necessarily mean you're getting better coverage. Number six, Medigap Plan F is typically not the best value. It offers a little more coverage than some other plans, but its extra cost is always greater than the additional benefit it provides. Medicare Advantage plans are an alternative to Medigap plans and work completely differently. These are managed care plans, generally have lower premiums, but higher out-of-pocket costs, and have some restrictions on where you can receive your care. Changes are coming to plans F and C in 2020. Doesn't really affect most people in this scenario. And then the coverage gap, when we're talking about standalone prescription Part D. Coverage gap stage costs are based on the retail cost of your drugs. Changing drug plans is not going to fix that. It doesn't matter which plan you have. They all have the coverage gap, and they all use the exact same dollar figures on when someone enters and when someone exits. So changing plans is not going to take care of that for you. And then top 10, the number 10, there is no cost to you to get the help of an agent. To get the best help, we recommend that you look for these three things. You would want to go with an independent agent versus a captive agent, looking for an agent who can help you with many insurance carriers, not just looked into one. You want to have an agent that will be knowledgeable and can provide you different options for both Medigap and Medicare Advantage plans. Some agents typically focus on only Medigap because there are considerably less regulations concerning Medigap. There are considerably more regulations if you offer plans that provide prescription drug coverage, such as Medicare Advantage and standalone prescription drug plan. And a lot of agents don't want to deal with the red tape, so they don't take the testing, they don't do the certification, and they only offer Medigap. So you want to be on the lookout. You want to make sure you work with an agent that can offer you both. And then the most important aspect is the drug coverage. This really is where the most hidden cost lies, is the drug coverage. If you fail to do your research during the annual enrollment period and you just let your prescription drug plan roll over to next year, what was covered in December, you may find in January is no longer covered. And you now have no recourse to do anything about it. You can only change your drug coverage during the annual enrollment period, October 15th through December 7th. And it is important to work with an agent who will review that drug plan with you every year, because that is really where you're going to get hit the hardest in the wallet at the end of the day. The health stuff's kind of work itself out, especially if you have a Medigap. You're paying your monthly premium and that's it. It doesn't really matter what happens to your health. It's going to be a fixed monthly cost. But your prescription drug coverage is really where you could get hit the most. Changes to the formulary happen every year. They send out notifications late September, mid to late September and October, but you're also getting bombarded with thousands of solicitations from different insurance agents and Medicare providers, health insurance companies. It's very easily thrown out in the trash with the rest of the junk mail. And if you didn't take any action, come January, that medication is no longer covered. There's nothing you can do about it until the next annual enrollment period. So make sure you work with an agent who's going to stay on top of your prescription drug plan. And that is it for my presentation. That is our contact information. You can reach us at the 800 number, either myself. We have several agents in California and all over the country. You can feel free to email us if you have direct questions. But that concludes the presentation. I thank you for your attention, and I will open up the floor to questions.
Okay, Scott, the way we're going to do it, because it may be a bit difficult to judge all the people that may want to ask questions at once.
Yeah.
So let's just start with the written ones that Marie has been. And why don't you start with number one and make sure that the questions are relevant to the subject for the day. Any questions that are not relevant, we'll handle after the meeting, okay?
Sounds good.
I should probably mention that I answered a few questions that were very specific to our plan.
Yes, I understand.
Perfect.
Just keep that in mind.
I didn't pay any attention to the chat while I was in there, so.
Okay.
Okay, Marie, can you find the first question?
One of the are there slides for all the info that he was giving when he started? Because he covered some information that wasn't reflected on the slides he was showing.
I may have skipped around a bit just because I've been doing this so long. The information's all in my head. But I'm going to provide the entire slideshow to your individuals, and then they can post that or send it to you guys individually, whoever requests a copy.
Okay, great.
That was from Donna Allen.
Thank you, Donna.
Go ahead, Marie.
And this one was from Kay. It just said Kay. I understand the premium is based on 2019 income. Is that adjusted yearly, or is this the premium for all time?
No, they're always 2 years behind. So if you were Medicare eligible in 2019 and you're currently on Medicare, moving into 2021, sometime in January, they're going to pull your 2019 tax return, and if your income has adjusted above the threshold, they will readjust your monthly Part B premium. Now, if that income is an outlier year, let's say you had an inheritance or you sold a company or maybe a life insurance payment due to a death of a family member, some kind of circumstance, there is a form that you can fill out called a life-changing event form. And it is specific to a few reasons, but if it's one of those that I just mentioned, you can fill that out, and they will throw out that high income, and then they will base it moving forward on your projected income going forward, so you won't have to pay the penalty. Because if they assess the penalty, that penalty doesn't go away until they find a tax return that then brings you below the threshold. And simply telling them that was an outlier year will not be, once they take your money, they're not giving it back. So as soon as you get the letter that says you're going to be subject to IRMA, reach out to your insurance agent. You can reach out to me. I have the form. I'll help you walk through it. It's very easy. And once you've submitted that, the IRMA goes away.
Another question from Harry Korn was, if two spouses are on Medicare, does the percentage premium of the MAGI change?
Well, so that would depend. So if you're married and you're filing individually, then you could be paying two different premiums. But typically married couples file jointly, and so whatever that modified adjusted gross income is for the couple, they are both going to pay the exact same amount.
Marta commented, says, if you would please discuss some of the Medicare issues, such as being admitted versus not in a hospital.
Right. So under Part A, if you just have original Medicare, you go into an ER, you have to be admitted for a minimum of 3 days. Once you're in for 3 days, that's when the $1,484 hospital deductible applies. Prior to that, it's just the ER visit. right? It's just the 80% of the attending physicians and any testing that they did to you, then you're going to pay the 20% when you get out. But on your third day, that's when the 1484 would kick in. I hope that answered your question.
I think so. I don't think there are any other, let's see. I think the other chat questions submitted were more related to our specific plans.
Okay. And unfortunately, because of the way Medicare's marketing guidelines I'm subject to, I cannot get into plan specifics on a meeting like this, on an educational event. But what I can do is I'm going to provide the slides to the presentation to your group, which I think they're going to make available either on their website or blog. I'm also going to provide my contact information. I think there's going to be a link on their site where you guys can reach out on an individual basis to me. And then once I have your written permission to talk about plan specifics on an individual basis, I can get back to each individual specifically. We can look at your current coverage, and we can look at anything that you may be considering in the future. I can talk real numbers, but that has to be done on an individual basis because today was not a sales event. Today was an educational event.
Scott, I want to clarify my question. Unfortunately, I was muted. There's a three-day period for a lot of things, as far as I can tell. If you haven't been admitted for 3 days, skilled nursing isn't covered.
Nope.
You can be in the hospital, and you think you're admitted because you're actually in a hospital room, and you're not admitted.
Yeah.
Ask the question about being admitted seems to be really important. That three-day thing seems to be really important, too.
Yeah, overnight observation may sound like an admission, but it's not. It would be more like an inpatient stay, but it's not a full-blown admission until you've been in the hospital a minimum of 3 days. That's when insurance is going to kick in. That's when your deductibles will be effective. That three-day rule is all over Medicare.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Important to know.
Okay, so it looks like we've run out of questions, so if...
I have a question.
What I mean is written questions. So now I'm going to take questions from the floor. What I need you to do is just state your name so I can recognize you.
Okay, Judith Salazar.
Okay, Salazar, I hear that. Go ahead. Is that Judith?
Yes.
Go ahead, Judith.
I have to have a PET scan. Does Medicare cover that?
I don't want to get into your specifics, but yeah, diagnostic procedure.
Well, I had cancer, and now the doctor wants me to have a PET scan.
Yeah, cancer screenings, colonoscopies, mammograms, all of that stuff is covered under Medicare.
Okay.
Okay, and next, go ahead, Judith, any more?
Let's see, I think I had one other question. I can't remember now what it was.
okay, you can come back to it. I need another name.
Hello, Harry. Yep. Ferguson.
I heard Ferguson. Go ahead.
Two questions. One to Scott. He mentioned earlier that we could request the IRMA publication. Can you make that available with your other documents sent to?
I currently have it on my website, rms-ins.com. Under the publications tab, you'll have there's going to be the application for Part B if somebody needs that. The rules for high income earners is going to be on there. And there's a couple others that I can't remember off the top of my head, but it's on my website now.
Thank you. My other question is, I don't know if applicable. I selected Anthem Blue Cross CalPERS Care.
Mm-hmm.
And can I then from that select, or am I being assigned the Advantage plan or the Medigap plan?
Okay. That's actually a question for me, because I study plans and you're not allowed to answer stuff.
Okay. All right.
So I want to make sure you don't get in trouble.
Yeah.
So I will answer that question.
Jeff, I have to be very clear with you before I answer your question. What does your card say in the upper right-hand corner? Does it say CalPERS Medicare Supplemental?
I'd have to look at it. Okay.
Let me explain the issue. There are people who signed up for the Anthem preferred Medicare plan, and that's a Medicare Advantage plan. There are people who signed up for PERS Care that is also run by Anthem, which is the one that that we have been kind of recommending to people, and that one's a PPO. That means that you can go anywhere you like. It's not it's a Medigap.
Marta,
Marta,
let me interrupt you. I don't want to. We told Scott that we wouldn't keep him longer than 90 minutes. So let's keep questions that we can answer,
so let's answer
after he answers all the questions that are addressed to him. So just make note of the questions that was asked by Jeff and we'll get back to it.
Or Jeff can ask it again.
I'll get back to you, Marta.
Okay. Any more questions?
Your card.
No, I have a question.
I need a name. Who is that? Fred? Go ahead, Fred.
I know she mentions the open enrollment period was October the 17th to December the 7th, but yet our district is signing us up after the first of the year. How can that happen?
So the annual enrollment period is October 15th through December 7th, and that applies only to plans that provide drug coverage. So what that would be a Medicare Advantage plan with drug coverage or a standard prescription drug coverage. There is no enrollment period for a Medicare supplement plan. You can do that at any time of year. And then there is an additional enrollment period in January called the Medicare Advantage disenrollment period. So that would mean if you sign up for an Advantage plan or you have one and you missed the annual enrollment period and now you find that you want to make a change to an Advantage plan, there is a enrollment period in January through March where you can go from one Advantage plan to another.
Yeah, but I haven't even signed up for any Medicare plan whatsoever. I'm not even on the original Medicare.
Are you Medicare eligible?
Yes, and the district's supposed to sign us up after January the 1st.
Okay.
No,
that's Medicare Part B, Scott.
Fred,
signing up for Medicare Part B, and the open enrollment for that is January 1 through March 31st.
Oh, okay. That answers my question.
Fred, are you saying that you filled out the forms that the district gave you?
I filled it out, and I got they acknowledged they received it.
Okay, so very good.
Because you're signing up in January, you're going to get a Part B, you're going to get a Medicare card with A and B. You don't have anything right now as far as Medicare.
I have Part A.
Yeah, Part A. Okay. So when you enroll into Part B, all the enrollment periods, all the elections are available to you based on the Part B effective date on your card. So if your Part B effective date says February, you have 3 months from February to enroll in either a standalone drug plan or a Medicare Advantage plan. And you have 6 months from that Part B effective date to choose a Medigap plan. So it's based on your new eligibility to Medicare.
Okay, fine. Thank you very much.
You got it.
Okay.
Marta, Jeff Ferguson.
I don't know if it was super Scott. We need to finish up with Scott first.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, any questions? Any more questions for Scott?
Hello, Renee. This is Gary Anglin.
You go ahead, Gary Anglin.
Scott, by the way, great job by you. Thank you for your information.
I appreciate
it. You guys have done a great job. I think my question is for Renee, and Renee, I would assume that most of us that are listening were told that we never needed to enroll in Part B through our current VCCD benefits. All I've been doing is following the protocol from our benefits department. I did the same thing that the last two speakers did. I've sent my application for Part B. I'm just waiting for verification. But, Scott, your information was tremendous. So now once I get my Part A and Part B, my new card, because all I had prior to was Part A, I get my new card, then I'll have a period of time that I can choose my Medicare plan. Is that correct?
Yeah, anyone who's going to apply in the near future for Medicare Part B who doesn't have it, whatever the Part B effective date is on that card when it arrives, you have
that will be right. That will be July 1st. So we'll have 3 months to choose what plan we want.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Scott, I think there's a little bit of confusion because all of the retirees who are entitled to lifetime benefits are entitled to district paid health plans. And so right now we're under CalPERS, and they are offering certain plans, and if they're in, they're eligible for Medicare, then they're getting the CalPERS Choice or the CalPERS the PERS Care Medicare supplement. Right now they don't have to think about buying a commercial plan like you're offering.
Great comment, Renee. Yeah, and Scott, thanks for answering that, because today was the first I'd heard of that.
You know, if you had the retirement option provided to you, that basically qualifies as active employer group health coverage. Well, then how? Oh, are these people?
No, because it's retiree coverage. Once you quit working, all penalties begin. If you're over 65 when you quit working, even if you do have retiree coverage, all penalties kick in, as a lot of us have found out.
Oh, no. There's going to be a
lot. Oh, yes.
Marta?
Active employees are people who are currently working.
Right.
Working full-time. You know, they're getting their benefits through their employer because of their work.
Mm-hmm.
So, Marta, this is Gary again. Renee, you may have an answer. From what I understand in speaking with our benefits department, the district is going to pay our penalties, correct?
Yes.
That is what they have said to this point, yes.
And the reason we hired an attorney is that we want it to be for the lifetime of the retiree, and we want it in writing.
Right.
We want to take them to court if necessary.
I agree, because for all of those years that we were full-time employees and told that we didn't need this, you have lifetime benefits, and now some yahoo that we call our chancellor wants to change that. Sorry for saying that, but that's a cowboy way.
Okay, let's see if there's any other more questions for Scott.
Hi, Gary.
Bob Reeves.
Bob Reeves,
great
go ahead.
Job, you guys.
Bob Reeves?
Yes. Yes, I'm here.
Go ahead.
I think I have a video on, but my question is that I'm in the same boat with these people. I got my Part A back 17 years ago, so I have 17 years of penalties, but I also am on Social Security disability retirement. It's not like everybody else. I'm exempt from having to pay the Medicare part out of my Social Security. Where does this kick in, this disability retirement? When does that kick in with these penalties? Even on my, excuse me, I think, is that enough of a question? Go ahead.
Well, how old are you now, sir?
71.
And you've had Part A for 17 years?
Yes, sir. I retired at 53.
Okay, and you've been receiving Social Security for a number of years prior to 65 due to the disability?
Yes, Social Security I've been getting since age 62.
Okay, so your disability, did it last more than 24 months and then you were awarded this SSI payment?
Actually, it took 9 years for the case to finally come through. I applied for it when I couldn't work any longer.
Okay.
It took 9 years to get it and then saved me a bunch of money.
Yeah, I think what I was trying to get at was because this all happened prior to 65, prior to being Medicare eligible, you were automatically enrolled once you were awarded that into Medicare at 65, and you're not paying for it. So you're not going to have any penalties. They did that automatically. You've got a Medicare card with A and B on it already, I'm assuming.
No, the B is not on there. I did not opt in for the B.
Oh, you opted out?
Yes.
Okay.
That's what we were told to do.
Yeah, so you opted out, and I'm assuming that was somewhere around your 65th birthday, so your penalty is going to start from that time frame unless you had some other creditable coverage between then and now. If you did, that penalty would be waived. If you didn't, it looks like you're in the same boat with everybody else here, and that's probably going to be taken care of by your representation.
Well, my credible coverage has been covered by the college the whole time.
No. Creditable coverage as far as... Shoot, am I... Yeah. Creditable coverage as far as the college is concerned only applies to your prescription plan.
Mm.
That's, remember those letters that we've been getting every year that say you have creditable Part D coverage? That's what's been creditable. The fact that you had insurance to the district is not considered... There's no such thing as Medicare Part B creditable coverage. You either have Medicare Part B when you need to get it, or you're working and getting it turns through there. Otherwise, penalties begin to kick in when you turn 65. So you're either working past 65, in which case the penalties don't apply, or your spouse is working past 65 if you're getting insurance through them, or the penalties have kicked in. Medicare Part B is different rules. But D, you had creditable coverage with them, and that just continued because once you got on the plan with CalPERS, that is creditable coverage for Medicare as well.
Okay, we have Scott for another few minutes. Any more questions for Scott?
There was a question about transportation costs. Is that under Medicare?
Medicare doesn't provide any of the transportation reimbursement or costs under Original Medicare and a Medigap. But some Medicare Advantage plans will provide transportation to and from doctor's appointments. They're typically limited. Typically, you have to meet certain medical requirements for those benefits to kick in. But they're, as of now, they're only available under Medicare Advantage plans. I'm not sure about CalPERS benefits, but on the open market, on plans that I represent, it's a Medicare Advantage plan benefit.
Yeah, that question was from John Andrich.
Okay, any more questions for Scott?
No, I would just like to say, Scott, Marta, and Renee, thank you. Great job by you guys.
Okay, we're going to go on with this meeting on questions not associated with this, but before we do that, Scott, thank you so much. I need you to do one thing for us.
Sure.
I think when you press the recording button, it's by recording to your computer. Okay.
I selected it to go to the cloud.
Oh, okay, very good. Go ahead and stop it now, okay?
You got it.
And I don't know if you can go to participants, find me, and give me control again. And if you can't do that, that's okay. I don't know if I'll need it, if I'll need to do, if people ask me to do things that they need me to do for them. So
you may want to be able to mute everyone again. So you may want that.
So
make posts.
Yes. Can you make me host again?
I think I did.
Yeah, Renee Rodriguez is host now.
Okay.
Perfect.
Okay.
Thanks very much, Scott.
Scott,
really
thank you so
that.
Much. It was great. Very informative. You're excused whenever you'd like to leave, okay?
I'm out. All right, guys. Have a good day.
Okay.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You. Bye-bye.
Okay, guys. Now the floor is open for general questions. Marta, why don't you continue with Jeff, whatever you were talking about.
Yeah, Jeff, do you have your card?
I've got the card, and it doesn't say anything about insurance. They simply got it when they got rid of the Social Security numbers and gave
I'm not talking about your Medicare card.